Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Had a chance to catch up with Eric Hasseltine, the longtime radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, right now sitting in that number 8 spot in the West and headed to Orlando. And I asked Eric the same question to start as I have a lot of my guests recently. What is the last memory you have before everything shut down 3 months ago?
Well, I mean, if it's a game mode, I remember the frustration of the Grizzlies having a chance to get a game above 500 against a pretty solid Orlando team, a team that they had played really well for about two and three quarters in Orlando, and then arguably had their worst quarter of the season early in the year, and Orlando ended up blowing them out. So they were looking for a little payback. They played really well. You were trying to extend your lead. We knew they had the toughest schedule going down the stretch out of remaining teams, so this was a home game you really wanted to win. So when they didn't and Orlando came back and won, it was frustration leaving the building. Now, what I remember from our perspective was we flew across the country on March 11th to start a 3-game road trip, and we were in Portland. So our television sideline reporter, Rob Fisher, who does a terrific job, and I decided we were going to have dinner at a local sports bar in Portland and watch the other games going on. We were ready to watch Utah and Oklahoma City. We were watching the Dallas game and waiting for Sacramento and New Orleans. Those games had impacts, you know, on where we were, especially Sacramento and New Orleans. So as it started to break and we heard the news, we actually didn't have the Utah game on yet. We were watching the Dallas game. I made a couple of phone calls to people I knew in Sacramento to see if their games were getting canceled. And then 15 minutes later, I hate to say it this way, but all hell broke loose.
Right.
In terms of phone calls and, you know, people wondering. And I just looked at Rob and I said, dude, we're going home tomorrow. This is going to be a minute. So, let's have a good time tonight because it's probably our last night on the road for a while. And turned out it was our last night together. And I remember the flight home, landing, and our coach Taylor Jenkins having to talk to the team. So we kind of had to sit back while he talked to them. We got off the plane and that's the last we've really seen of anybody. And I turned into a second grade teacher that night because my son was on spring break at the time.
Aww.
And they extended it. And then when schools closed, it was homeschooling. So it was a great time to spend with him. And we did a lot of fun things, but it's tough because I'm a fairly social person. I like to go out and
yes.
enjoy dinner with friends when we're on the road or dinner with friends here and take my son to places. And when you're kind of just cramped up, it's tough. And there was nothing to release that with any live sports. And you know, obviously this thing is bigger than sports and bigger than, you know, what our social needs are. It's about staying healthy and trying to recover as an entire country. But it was eye-opening to say the least. I never thought I'd see the day where this happened, but it did.
So over the last 3 months, there's been no contact with the peeps you work with, or even knowing what the team or the coaching staff is up to? No Zoom calls for you, Eric?
No Zoom calls with the coaches, but the great thing about our coaches is that they care, and we've developed in a very short time a very close relationship. So I was actually at dinner with my girlfriend, and I got a text message, and I looked, and I kind of had this puzzled look on my face. She said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I just read this." And it was from Taylor Jenkins, and it was incredibly complimentary and friendly and just basically thanking me for making his time with me easy, and he enjoyed it, and he was so happy to be here. And I kind of returned the favor, said, hey, we're lucky to have you because this is an exciting brand of basketball and there's a buzz about the team in the city. And it's a lot due to the way you guys have brought the players along and, you know, the style that we're playing. And so I'm really looking forward to this continuing. And it just blew me away how personal it was. And, that's the kind of guy he is. Brad Jones, who's one of his lead assistants, who spent a lot of time in the G League, and I have developed a friendship through summer league last year, called and just checked in, asked how my kids were doing. I asked how his kids, who are a little bit older, and his daughter graduating high school, was doing, and she got a basketball scholarship. So he was a proud papa. Not surprising, considering both of her parents are basketball coaches. Her mom coached college, and Brad's coaching in the NBA. So the bloodline runs through. But they told me they were doing Zoom calls together. But other than that, with the broadcasters, we've kind of stayed in touch and, you know, gotten on Zoom calls together and cheers a beverage or two at night when we were when our kids had gone to bed, and just to kind of keep that camaraderie. But it's been different. Except, you know, one thing I told people real quick, Amy, is that, you know, we had played 65 games. So it was a lot like the end of a season. It was just weird because it happened a month early. So where we started to get the itch is to get back to it, if we hadn't made the playoffs, would be when we're getting ready for summer league, because the team will send us out to cover it. So that was, you know, essentially in late May, early June. So right now is where I'd be like, hey, let's go. We're going to Vegas for 10 days to watch our young guys play and compete and see what pieces can help us in the future. The difference this year was we really felt like we had a good shot to be in those final eight teams in the West, and our young guys were starting to get healthy again. When we went on hiatus, Justice Winslow hadn't played a game in a Grizzly uniform since being acquired at the deadline. Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark had missed a handful of games. They were getting close to return. Jaren probably a little closer than Brandon. So I think that was the thing that we lacked the most, was seeing what this young group together can possibly be moving forward.
Right now, the Grizzlies are sitting in that number eight spot, one game below 500. Eric Hasseltine is the radio play-by-play voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You've seen the plan unveiled by the NBA with this weird play-in option for a number nine team that would be within four games of the number eight. It's a little bit odd and somewhat awkward, but gives teams that are close a chance to get into that postseason picture. What do you think about what you've seen from the NBA for this Orlando bubble?
I think it's fair. I mean, I think the best plan, in my opinion, that I heard, I don't know if they proposed this, but it came from Gary Parrish of your fine networks there, where he's the national college basketball writer and does a lot of work on the college basketball television broadcast throughout the week, and he's a host here in Memphis and a good friend. He proposed on his radio show here, he thought a four bracket, five team per bracket, like round robin pool play type thing, like the World Cup does, would have been the most fair. You take 20 teams, you play each team in your bracket twice, so you play eight games, and then you reseed it, and the top three team, and you don't really reseed, but the top three teams in each pool are automatically in, four wild cards and four teams go home. So that would have eliminated Washington and Phoenix from that mix.
Right.
But in what they've proposed, I think it's fair, and for this reason. There's no two ways about it. The Grizzlies had a really tough schedule down the stretch. They did have a 3.5 game lead, and they were going to face a Portland team that they beat right before the All-Star break when Damian Lillard was playing the best basketball in the NBA. He was scoring, you know, 40-plus a night, and the Grizzlies curtailed that, and they got the win. That was the night he strained his Achilles, but he strained it at the end of the game. He missed the All-Star game subsequently because of that, but had they won that game on the road, which is not easy to do at the you know, in Portland at the Moda Center, it's a tough place to play, but had they won that, that's a 4.5 game lead minimum over Portland, and probably at least four over Sacramento or New Orleans, who are playing each other, with 16 games left. And that's a lot to make up. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot. The fact remained, though, that the Grizzlies had another game with Portland after that, won a game with San Antonio, and two with New Orleans. So those were opportunities for those teams to make ground if they needed to. So I think it's fair. And I don't have a problem with them including Washington and Phoenix. The question I have moving forward, and the only thing I think you can really question about it, is what happens if Phoenix is out there and you play them in the first three or four games as a team, and then they're eliminated, essentially. They have no chance of catching the Grizzlies in the eighth spot or catching whoever's in the ninth spot, and they just say, hey, we're not going to risk Devin Booker long-term future for games that don't matter. We see it at the end of seasons all the time, and it can affect standings. Well, now it really affects things. If you play them in the backside of that, if they don't win those games, and they're capable of winning them, so I don't want to just say count them out. They're certainly capable of beating anybody in the league. We've seen it firsthand. They've had some great battles with that young team, and I think they're on the rise. But if by chance that's the case, how does that affect teams moving forward? What does San Antonio look like now without LaMarcus Aldridge? It's a bad blow for Utah with Bojan Bogdanovic going down with wrist surgery. So injuries are a factor. And then we all know what the situation we're facing. What happens if a player tests positive? Right. How do we handle those situations? So those are the questions I have. I don't have a big problem with having to play your way in if you're the Grizzlies. I know a lot of people in Memphis will always want to feel slighted because it's a small market and everybody's out to get us. And I think, you know, that's fun rhetoric for fans, but when you see it on a day-to-day basis, the NBA is not out to get small markets or out to totally push Zion. Sure, they'd love Zion to be in there, but they love Ja Morant too. They've picked up a lot of Grizzly games because Ja Morant's been fun to watch. So that's a draw, maybe not as big as Zion, but you give them a chance to get in there, and if New Orleans can play their way in, then they earned it. So I don't have a big issue with it. I'm interested to see how the schedule works out. They've said it. They were going to, from what I understand, try to pick games from the remaining schedule. And if that's the case, I would assume the Grizzlies are going to play San Antonio once, New Orleans twice, Portland twice, and then the other three games remaining, in my guesstimation, could be Philadelphia, Houston, and Utah, because they were all on the Grizzlies' final 17-game schedule. So if that's the case, that may be who you play. Toronto was also there twice, so you have that option too. So maybe Toronto gets mixed in there. We'll see. But I, to be honest with you, Amy, I'm sure you know this about me. I'm just anxious to get back to work.
Yes.
Whether it's on-site or like baseball's proposed to have announcers do things from studio, we'll deal with that when we get to it. And the most important thing is to finish this season, which I think has been a remarkable year for the NBA, crown a champion, get things back to as close to normal as possible, and then start up again sometime in December and see what impact that has, if that becomes the new norm, or if they try to go back to starting again in early November, late October. We'll see. But it's all something we have to kind of all accept on the fly, as you know.
Eric Hasseltine with the Memphis Grizzlies, and now with us after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Grizzlies, and you and I have talked about this, they are one of the great surprises of this NBA season. The youth, you mentioned Ja Morant, of course, responding to their head coach. How do you think that might help them when it comes to restarting and jumping right back in? And I know they have some time to ramp up, but it's still, there's got to be players that will be affected by this long layoff.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you talk about some guys that are either longer in the tooth or the wear and tear gets to them and their bodies are doing this. I professional athletes are a different breed. I wouldn't be so shocked at all of them have access to a gym that they can get into where no one else can, that they have coaches with them,
sure.
You know, their own personal coaches and things like that, that, you know, we can't go down to the local fitness center and play our normal pickup games of basketball or out to the playgrounds to play pickup. These guys are finding ways to work out. But yeah, the youth I think does help. And the fact that this team who entering the season really had no one that had played together a significant amount of time, because last year Jaren Jackson was shut down right after the All-Star break. Dylan Brooks missed almost the entire year. Jonas Valanciunas, who was a carryover, came late in the year, and Kyle Anderson was a first-year guy. Jonas and Kyle were the only two guys that had actually spent time on the floor together. So when you look at, you go back and look at the Grizzlies' schedule in the early part of the year, they had some struggles, they had some good wins, but they had some losses. You kind of go, wow, that's kind of interesting. But then you look towards mid-December, when Ja Morant came back after sustaining a little back injury when he fell into a cameraman in Utah, that's when they went on a tear. And that's when Taylor Jenkins, you know, one coach of the month for January, and rightfully so. We had an incredible run here with the way they were playing, and they were beating good teams and beating teams that weren't playoff teams. And the way they were playing was just a lot of fun to watch. They gelled very quickly is the point. And I think they'll do that again. they do have a new face in the mix when they do this, and that's Justice Winslow, and they're really anxious to see how he fits in this grand picture. And moving forward, I'm really excited for this team. The other question I think the front office has to ask was, they had shut Grayson Allen down for the year. He was a really big part of the second unit right before he injured his hip. Is he ready to go starting, you know, basically July 31st, August 1st? He was supposed to be cleared for workouts and play during the summer. So will you put him out on the floor in that situation? If that's the case and you add Justice Winslow and Grayson Allen back into the rotation, this team gets a lot deeper very quickly. So I think the layoff will certainly hurt everybody, but the time to ramp it back up will be fun. And, you know, these young guys today, they're amazing at their ability to go right back out and play. And, you know, I know not a lot of people understand this necessarily, because Memphis isn't a team that gets a lot of national attention. And like you said, they were kind of a surprise this year. Mm-hmm. But this group's really fun to watch. They are really fun to watch. The ball moves quickly. They're at the top of the league in assists. They share the basketball. They get up and down the floor. They'll do their best to defend. But as you know, with young teams, defense comes with a little bit more experience. But they've got some talented young guys, and they're gonna put a twinkle in the league's eyes with the way they play, I think, when they showcase them a little bit.
All right, Eric, just before I let you go, and just about 60 seconds, what are your plans for Orlando, or broadcasters' plans? Do you have any idea?
None. We're waiting to hear. They haven't really said anything. And I think what we were talking about earlier, whatever they tell me to do, I'll do. I'd love to go down there. Orlando's a great city. I spend a lot of time there vacationing. If they say do it from a closed circuit studio in Memphis and do the best you can, so be it. That's part of the job. So I'm just excited to be able to see basketball, call basketball.
Talk basketball.
Yeah, talk basketball. Yeah, but we got to talk about your show name. I'm still petitioning for the Amy Lawrence extravaganza.
Oh,
late
for
tonight.
Heaven's sakes. Just because you can't remember the name of the show does not mean it needs to be changed, Eric.
After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you know I remember it.
There we go. I like it. So, Eric Hasseltine, we hope coming to a radio near you with Memphis Grizzlies play-by-play. In the meantime, his very short career as a second-grade teacher, while successful, is now over.
Yes. No more of that. Thank you. Be safe, my friend. Thank you for having me on the show. Keep up the great work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.